I want to thank Pastor Tom for asking me to speak here this evening. It is certainly with great gravity that I approach the pulpit here tonight. I want to I'd like to speak to you tonight about basically the righteous judgment of God with respect to sinners. However, I have a motive here that what I want to try to do is to draw a contrast between the righteous judgment of God and the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I want to try to draw a contrast between the two of them and to be able to show you the value of the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Sometimes we don't appreciate things that are very valuable to us. And I have a little story here I'd like to talk to you, mention to you tonight after I pray. But I'm going to ask that you pray for me as I speak, that I would try to communicate the Word of God truthfully tonight and make this easy to understand. Let's go before the Lord. Father, I ask you now to guide my steps, and Lord, that I would be able to communicate these truths that are written in the Word of God to the people. And Lord, that each and every one of us might appreciate the Lord Jesus for what he's done for us, and that his name might be magnified through this message this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. About 3 or 4 summers ago, Carol and I, my daughter Michelle, Debbie Chamberlain, we packed up about 8 or 9 kids in the 2 vans, and we drove down to the Jersey Shore to Point Pleasant Beach. And while we were there, I always tried to sit close to a lifeguard. I just naturally tried to do that. And I was sitting underneath an umbrella. I was not paying attention to what was going on. And everybody started yelling and jumping around. And I had never, ever seen a lifeguard ever pull anybody out of the ocean. I'd never seen this happen, ever. In all the years I've been going to the shore, I never saw that happen. And I was horrified when I found out that it was Rachel Chamberlain, okay, that the lifeguards actually had to go in, and here I am sitting right in front of the water, and I didn't even see it, okay? But these guys were trained to be able to keep an eye on the water, and Rachel was in the water, okay? A big wave had come up. She told me later the big wave had come up, and she was in the water about up to her knees, and the wave knocked her over. The undertow pulled her back in, and she was struggling out in the surf, and the lifeguard spotted her, and bam, he hopped out there. And praise the Lord, she was okay. I have thought once in a while about that situation. First of all, that I had never ever seen anything like that ever happen before, right before my own eyes, let alone it was connected with me. What would I have done? How would I have reacted? Honestly, if we ever lost Rachel down at the ocean, I mean, can you imagine coming home in a car where you had one minus child, okay, and then Hertz was going to bring her casket from the Jersey Shore here for a funeral, and we were involved in that? I mean, the contrast there, what I'm trying to say here tonight is I never really appreciated ever a lifeguard until that happened. I've seen what, you know, you see it on TV and all this kind of stuff, but to be right there and actually see something like this actually take place before your eyes, I never ever appreciated what the lifeguard did. We sometimes, as Christians, we do not appreciate what Jesus has done for us. We sometimes take it for granted. I know that I do. We pray to the Lord Jesus, and we go about our daily business and that sort of thing, but we don't really realize that he has actually led us to repentance. And that's where I want to start out over here, that he has led us to repentance. I want to kind of go around the room, so to speak, and I want to come back to that, that the goodness of God in Romans 2 tells us that the Lord has led us to repentance. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask you to turn to the golden text, John 3:16, and I want to demonstrate for you from the Word of God what the Lord Jesus had to say about the righteous judgment of sinners and with respect to their eternal damnation and the goodness of God that has led us to repentance as the contrast. That's what I'm going to try to communicate to you tonight. John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For the Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes, this is important here, now he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, if you can drop down to verse 36 in this chapter, I want you to notice that the wrath of God hangs upon the man who does not believe that Jesus is the Christ and does not put his trust in him. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. This evening I want to try to show the contrast again between the wrath of God, the righteous judgment of God, and the goodness of God that has led us to repentance. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Now, if you've been in this church for any period of time, you're very familiar with this passage. But I want to ask you to do something different tonight as we read this. I want you to plug yourself into this. Okay, if you're saved here tonight, before you were saved, you were in this condition. Okay, if you're not saved here tonight, you are presently in this condition. But I'm going to ask you to make this on a first-person, one-to-one basis here. Okay, and I want you to look at this as yourself, as you read through here in Romans chapter 1, 18. For the wrath of God, we just read about the wrath of God there for a moment. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Now it's starting to get to the salient points here. Okay, the people are not thankful. This is many times, this is even us in our condition and how we live. We're not thankful. I know that I've got a mouth that sometimes says things that I'm not thankful for, and I should be thankful for the things that have even created problems for me. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. This is like the environmentalists. They kind of go off the charts here, where they put the animal and the dog and the cat above humans. The Bible teaches, of course, that this is a very serious sin. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and in lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use against what was against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in her lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, boy, we know that's true today, people don't want to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things that are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. Now, starting to list here some important things. Every person in this room has been involved in some of these things. Every person that's here, because we're all sinners and we've all fallen short of the kingdom of God. Let me start this verse 29 again. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Now, maybe most of us here, I don't think probably anybody here murdered anybody, but the Bible says that if we hate our brother without a cause, we're a murderer. So therefore, because the truth is that I am guilty of murder because of this of that verse. I personally never, ever actually murdered anybody, but I am guilty of murder because I have hated my brother. Okay, not my individual brother, but there's other people on this earth that I really have hated. And there's some people that I sinned against greatly, okay, by doing and saying some of the things that I did and said. And so therefore I am clearly guilty of this. Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, that's gossipers. How many people in here, including Tom Fox, are guilty of this? Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You kids, you need to know that being disobedient to your parents is right in here with murderers, evil-minded people, backbiters, haters of God, boasters, violent. Those same sins are listed here with being disobedient to parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous, look at this carefully now, here's where I'm at, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. People who do these things are deserving of death, and they're going to be judged, and the scriptures tell us here that there's going to be a righteous judge. It's going to be a righteous judgment by the righteous judge in that great day. Okay, which is an awesome thing. Now, you and I, as human beings, have some problems sometimes, honestly, with the judgment of God, where the Lord will send somebody to hell forever. Okay, I personally have, in my own human flesh, I have some problems with that. But I need to understand something, and so do you. That judgment, when God sends a man to the eternal catacombs of the damned, okay, is the righteous judgment. That's what it is. Okay, no matter whether I like it, whether I understand it or not, it doesn't matter. It's His righteous judgment that He does this. Okay, and that's where I want you to zero in tonight. This is a righteous judgment that God sends the sinner to hell, but the goodness of God has led you to repentance. That's the difference, and that's the contrast that I need you to see tonight. The righteous judgment of God is going to bring wrath down upon the sinful man, but the goodness of God has led you to repentance. And that's where we really need to be. We need to praise our God for what He has done for us, that we might not be the recipients of His wrath. That's what I really want to try to drive home to you tonight. Chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable. That's you and I. O man, you are inexcusable. Whoever you are who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. That's very true. But we know the judgment of God is according to truth. Now here we know that the judgment of God is according to truth, and the judgment of God is according to righteousness. So now this is a truthful judgment, and this is a righteous judgment we're going to take a look at as we now move over to Luke chapter 16. I want you to go to Luke 16, and I want you to see the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and I want to try to point out a few things to you. There's seven things in this story I'm going to ask you to be careful and look at. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Now, the three things I'm going to ask you to look at here, I want you to notice that the rich man said he was in torment, Jesus said the rich man was in torment, and Abraham said that the rich man was in torment. As we go down here a little bit further in verse 28, I want you to notice that hell is a place. This is not a figment of somebody's imagination, okay? This is a place. This is an actual place. And there are three proper nouns within this story. The proper noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. So we have the name of Abraham, we have the name of Moses, okay, and we have the name of Lazarus. We have three proper nouns. We have three times it's said here that the rich man was in torment, and this is a place. So I want you to look carefully at these 7 points as I read this situation here. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in hell, Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am, what? Tormented. Okay? Now back up in verse 23, Jesus said he was tormented. That's good enough for anything here. If Jesus said it, that's the end of it. Okay? But now you have the rich man himself saying that he is tormented. Okay? Verse 25, and Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Abraham said that. So now you have Jesus, Abraham, and the rich man all saying that the rich man's in torments. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, and those who want to pass from there to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Okay? Hell is a place of torment. This is not somebody's idea or a dream or some kind of spiritual event. Okay? This is an actual place. Jesus is speaking here in the first person, telling us this is a place of torment. The rich man said he was in torments. Abraham said he was in torments. And the third one was Jesus. The rich man and Abraham, I'm sorry, said he was in torment. Now I want you to realize this. This incident here is the righteous judgment of God. This is the righteous judgment of God, and it's descending wrath upon the unsaved man who did not trust in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. The goodness of God has led you to repentance if you're saved. But the wrath of God abides upon him who is unsaved. Those are the facts. All I can do is present you clearly and simply exactly what God's word says with respect to this subject. Go back to Romans chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to first go to Romans 1:32 where we're at. I want you to see where Paul the Apostle here says in verse 32 again, he says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. God's word says that the rich man was deserving, okay, of that death. That's what God's word says. He is deserving of that death. This word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Man did not write this. And all we can do as Christians is submit ourselves to it. But the Bible says that the rich man or anybody else who ends up in the catacombs of the damned is deserving of that because he has rejected the only method of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. People stand on the precipice at their death. People have no idea what is facing them. Okay, they've been lulled to sleep by the world. Okay, the devil has done his job. He has put the people to sleep. They have no idea what is facing them. When a man goes to the hospital and he's laying in the hospital and he's about to die, most people, even at that time, unless the Lord opens up their heart, they have no interest in the things of the Spirit of God. They just don't want to talk about it, even at the edge of death. Okay, they basically say, don't worry about it. Or you have some false teacher like the Catholic Church that tells them that they're only going to go to purgatory for a period of time, burn off their sins, and then they're going to go on to heaven. That's an absolute lie because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. By the way, that judgment was what we're discussing tonight is going to be the righteous judgment of God. Okay, and it's going to be given to people who deserve death, according to this very verse. Now, Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But in accordance with the hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Again, we see here that God's judgment is righteous, and people are treasuring up for themselves, like storing up for themselves wrath. As if you could imagine that somebody would come home every day and he would take the change out of his pocket and he would throw it into a little cup or something like that in his bedroom. Many of us do that. We store up some change. Okay, eventually someday we cash it in or whatever. People are actually storing up every day the wrath of God. This is storing up. It's building up for that righteous day when God is going to judge people with a righteous judgment, His standard. And it's, the Bible says in Romans 1:32 that they are deserving of death. Now, Jesus said in John 5:24. Let's take a look back there. John 5:24. John 5:24 through 30. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation or damnation, if you have a regular King James Bible. So what Jesus is telling us is these people are everybody that's in the grave that dies is going to come forth, and then they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account of themselves at that great day. If you will turn with me to Acts chapter 17, I just want to go over a couple of passages with you. The Bible is replete. It's full of the fact that the judgment of God is going to fall upon sinners. But tonight I want to try to focus on the righteous judgment, because we have a warped idea in our minds. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, God wouldn't do that. Okay, the God that I worship would never, ever send anybody to hell. How many times have we ever heard somebody say that? But that's not what the Scripture says. That's what a sinful man says. And that sinful man cannot understand the Word of God. Okay, he has no ability to, because his heart is not open to it. Therefore, that sinful man has no ability to even speak the truth. The Word of God tells us clearly that God will send sinners to hell. He really will demand the wrath of God to be put upon them, and there will never, ever be an exit from that place. You're listening to a guy who, frankly, is very fearful of hell. I personally am very, very fearful of hell. I have people in my family that I'm very concerned about, okay? And they sometimes, and even people that I know that I try to talk with, okay, that are kind of poo-poo the things of Jesus. And they'll do all kinds of things on Sundays. Okay, they'll attend sports events and they won't go to church, or they'll go on trips and they won't go to church, or they'll go to picnics and they won't go to church. And these things deeply bother me, because I'm 60 years old, and the truth is I probably lived 2/3 or 3/4 or maybe even 9/10 or more of my life. Very shortly, I'm going to stand before the Lord. I'm going to give an account of myself. I am fearful. I personally am very fearful that I could be lost if Jesus was not my Lord. If I wasn't saved, okay, I would be bolting to this altar tonight, because I am afraid of the righteous judgment of God. As I read the Scriptures, I personally am afraid of the wrath of God that would be poured out upon me. I do not want to get even close to the wrath of God. So I'm afraid of those type of things. That's why I'll try to talk to somebody about Jesus, or tell them, because I love them and I care for them. I don't ever want to see anybody lost. And I know nobody here that's saved that ever wants to see anybody lost. But there's this tremendous contrast between the righteousness of God, okay, and his judgment, and the goodness of God that has led us to repentance. There's this chasm, all right, and the people don't understand it. They just walk down the street. They have no interest in these things. You try to pass out a tract or whatever, 99% of them, they'll just throw it away. They have no interest in these things at all. You and I who are here tonight are super fortunate that the Lord has changed our hearts, caused us to walk in His ways, that we actually might be His children. Praise the name of our God for what He has done for us. For real. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day. Look at this carefully. God has appointed a day. There's a day that's appointed, and man, in effect, is marching towards that day. Every day that you get up, okay, is a day closer to that appointed day. There is an appointed day. Guaranteed, it's right here in the Word of God, Acts 17. There's an appointed day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained, and He has given assurance of all of this by raising him from the dead. The very fact that Jesus was raised from the dead gives us assurance that God is going to judge the world. He's going to judge it in righteousness, and His judgments are righteous. Okay, I don't know if you and I are going to see the righteous judgment of God or exactly how this is going to work. Okay, frankly, I don't even really want to be there. If there is the ability to be there, I don't want to see anybody ever cast into the lake of fire. I do not ever want to see that kind of thing. But maybe we'll be there. Maybe God's going to show us the contrast between what He did for us and how He condemned the sinner. I'm not sure how that's going to work. But all I know is I'm fearful of seeing some of my friends, family, and loved ones that will be lost in that judgment day. I personally am very fearful of that. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew 25, verses 31. 31 through 46. I'm going to read you these passages, and our time is rapidly fleeting away. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, again I'm in Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And this is, you are witnessing now, as you read this, you are witnessing now the righteous judgment of God. Remember that as we go through this passage. The righteous judgment of God that we read about there in Acts 17 is being demonstrated for us right now. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left hand. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to him, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed. Those are the worst words you could ever hear in your all eternity. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the righteous judgment of God taking place right here. What you are witnessing, where Jesus tells these people to depart from Him into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, is the righteous. This isn't just the judgment of God. I need to drive this point home. This is the righteous judgment of God by the righteous judge, by the pure and the holy God, whom Isaiah, when he saw, said, the Lord is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and whom the angels, when they're around the Lord, cover their eyes, okay, because He is so holy that we cannot look, they cannot look upon Him. Just as you and I, as sinful people, cannot look at the sun, Okay, can you imagine being closer to the sun and closer to the sun and closer to the sun where you're actually in the sun's quote-unquote presence? Okay, to be able to instantly you would be blind. As you were, your eyes, your retinas would be burned out of the back of your head, out of the back of your eye. The same thing takes place here with Isaiah, but I'm not going to have time to go there. When he saw the Lord in his glory, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. That's the first thing he said. I'm a sinner. Okay, he was a sinner. Okay, and he stood before God, and then God told him various things, and I don't have time this evening to go into that. However, what I'm trying to do is draw you the contrast of somebody actually approaching the Lord. But we must remember from this passage that the Lord says that his judgment is righteous to these guys when he says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I want you to drop back to Matthew 25:30, and I just want you to see something that's said here, and Jesus speaking in the previous chapter, and to cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there will be, what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? We cannot understand the righteous judgment of God, the terror that's going to take place at this judgment seat. Okay? When the Lord tells these people to depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I'm going to ask you now to go to Revelation 19, chapter 2. Excuse me, Revelation 19, verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. True and righteous are the judgments of God. So his righteous judgments are true, and his judgments are righteous. What he does is right. Whether you and I understand it, whether we can agree, whether somebody goes and is tormented day and night forever and ever, whether we can digest it or not, it doesn't matter. The fact is, that's what God's word said. This is what's going to take place. We cannot, it's above our comprehension. The fact is, we're called to believe it, whether we understand it or not. While we're here in Revelation, turn to Revelation 19:11. Just go 8 or 9 verses down the road. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in what? In righteousness he judges and makes war. He will make war in righteousness, okay, and in judgment, okay? His judgment will be righteous when he judges. And I'm going to ask you now to turn to Revelation 14. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, in every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is coming, and has come, and worship Him who has made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of the water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark in his forehead or in his hand, he himself, now this is dealing with people now, this is individual people that have taken the mark of the beast, and he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God that is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented. This is an individual person, a man, a human being. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now look at this carefully. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Whoever receives this mark of the beast, which we're not going to have time to go into tonight, is going to be tormented in the presence of the Lamb day and night. They will have no rest, and that torment will go on forever and forever. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to Revelation 20:11. Just go right up the road a little bit. Revelation 20:11. Now, this is the great white throne judgment. But before I get back there, I want to show you something here in Revelation 19:20. I want to show you something that happens to the beast and how he's dealt with by the Lord. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, I want you to jump over to 20, verse 10, probably in the next page, chapter 20, verse 10. In other words, these two individuals were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, at some point later, point in time later, look at verse 10. The devil, 20:10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. In other words, these guys were cast in there, I'm going to say, a week before. They're just making that time frame up, a week, a day, whatever. Okay, these guys were cast into the lake of fire in Revelation 19:20 earlier than the devil, okay? But they're still alive. Look at this carefully. These guys are still alive in the lake of fire, okay? Verse 10, 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay. So we see here the righteous judgment of God has cast the devil, the beast, the false prophet into the lake of fire. This is also the righteous judgment of God. Now I'm going to read you the great white throne judgment in verse 11. Here we go. Then I saw a great white throne, and he and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small, the great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Our God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire. It is a serious thing. It is a deadly serious thing to reject the Christ, the Savior, who died on the cross for your sins and for mine. The Bible says that the righteous judgment of God will deal with these people on that great day, okay? But you, my brothers and sisters who are here, are the blessed ones, because we're going to wind up with this last passage as we're going to go to here, to Romans chapter 2. Let's go back here. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. The contrast here. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God gives us rain from heaven, gives us our homes to live in. Every one of us here has a freezer that's full of food. That's the truth. Okay, every one of us drove here most likely in a very comfortable car, probably most of us with an air conditioner that really worked. Okay, all these blessings are the goodness of God, all kind of good things, but the real goodness of God has led us to repentance, to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we might not experience the righteous judgment of God. Let's close tonight in prayer.